Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to another very special Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. I say special because we have a guest in the studio, live, and she's going to be singing live, singing her own songs. She wrote the words and or the music. This is all part of a series of programmes recently in which 3TFM has been proudly presenting a whole series of sensational singer-songwriters from sunny Saltcoats by the sea. And all secret sensational singer-songwriters from sunny Saltcoats by the sea. Undiscovered talent. They don't have to all come from Saltcoats, of course, so come on, Ardrossan and Stevenson, show us your special Christian singer-songwriter talents too. Anyway, tonight's special guest is Patricia Noble. So welcome, Patricia, and thank you for coming into the studio and sharing something of your music tonight.
I'm looking forward to it, although it does feel a little bit strange, I must admit. I'm used to participating for the odd song, but not for several. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you have taken part a few times.
Yes, indeed.
So this is your spot tonight. Spotlight all on you.
And I just hope I live up to that build-up, which was quite sensational itself.
She's very special in a number of ways, but I would say most special of all because she is my wife, if you haven't already picked that up. She helps a lot with the 3TFM programmes behind the scenes. For instance, your first song tonight is actually your latest one, and it had its world premiere on 3TFM just last month.
Yes, indeed.
So tell us a wee bit about the background to this one.
Well, this is a story about my husband, the said aforementioned Reverend Noble, because he'll be thinking over a particular programme that he might want to do, and he'll say to me the odd comment like, just thinking, dear, there isn't really much on that subject. So he was trying to find material on the Good Samaritan.
Which is surprising. You would think such a well-known passage.
It is a very well-known Bible story that Jesus uses. So I think you went out for a wee walk, didn't you?
I walked the dog, and by the time I came back...
Well, the song was written. It was a wee bit rough and ready, but the song was written. So here is the more polished version today.
And this is entitled The Good Samaritan.
He was travelling along the windy road that leads from Jericho, hoping to reach Jerusalem by the end of day. Well, the sun beat down, he was getting tired, and the journey seemed so long. He hoped he'd find a place to stop along the way. Then the night drew in and the temperature fell, and the way got very dark. Still he travelled on, thoughts of home were on his mind. But unknown to him, a gang of thieves were lying there in wait. They beat him up, stole all he had, and left him there to die. At the crack of dawn, two holy priests were walking on that road. To the synagogue they went to worship on that day. They came across the man who was beaten up
but to help him would waste their time. They'd be late for church, and so they passed on by. Then a Samaritan arrived, an untouchable, a type who no one loved. He saw the man in the gutter and knelt down by his side. He tended his wounds, gave him some food, and brought him to an inn. Paid for his board, promised to return, and went on his way. Now God looks down from heaven above to see if love is just a word we use or something that we live. We must walk the walk, not just talk the talk, if we want to follow Christ, loving God, others, and learning to forgive.
So thanks very much. That was lovely, Patricia.
Thank you.
Saltcoats has got talent, you see. But you're not actually from Saltcoats originally, are you? So give us a wee bit about your background.
Well,
where were you born?
I think you can tell by accent I'm not quite from Saltcoats. I was actually born in Wick in Caithness in the 1960s. I'll need to say no more.
But you didn't stay there long.
No, 3 years in Wick and then to Peterhead in Aberdeenshire for a few years. And then to Fraserburgh, where I spent the bulk of my childhood and early adulthood. So mostly a northeast quine, as they would say.
A quine, eh?
Oh, a quine, I know.
You're a twin?
Yes, I have a sister, funnily enough, the same age.
Who plays the guitar as well?
She does. She helps in the worship leading in her own church. And I have an older brother who plays acoustic guitar and also bass guitar. So it kind of seems to be there in the family.
Uh-huh. Your family also have something else in common.
We are a family of teachers for our sins, yes. 3 out of 5 maths teachers, which is a bit of scary, but there you go.
Yeah, when it comes to cutting up a cheesecake, they do it in percentages.
Oh, they do it in angles. Yeah. It's awful. Would you like 45 degrees?
And you're growing up in Fraserburgh, you were part of a youth group.
Yes, I was very fortunate. I had been to several churches, Baptist, Salvation Army, but by the time I was 13, 14, my parents were attending an Assembly of God Pentecostal church, and it had a youth group 100 strong, which was quite incredible, very, very formative, and everybody kind of liked to try their hand at some musical instrument there.
It's amazing to think of a youth group in a church with 100 people.
It was quite something when I look back. And actually now they still maintain it. They seem to manage to keep their young people with lots of programs and interesting things.
So of the 100, quite a number played musical instruments.
Quite a number. In fact, I would say there was a group of about 12 to 15 of us who were all self-taught. From 2 people would give us some basic chords. We'd go away and learn them and then come back and get a few more. You know, 3 guitars served about 10 people.
So you are basically self-taught with a few hints and tips from your peers.
That's about it, yeah. Yeah.
Very good. So let's move to your second one then.
Well, this is a song called If I Don't Have Love. The last song was, if you like, the practical outworkings of love and what it means. This one lets us see a passage in the Bible where love is specifically mentioned. 1 Corinthians 13, a letter by Paul, is one that's very well known in weddings. It's love is patient, love is kind, it's long-suffering. And that famous last verse, faith, hope and charity remain, and the greatest of these is charity or love. And this song is based around that song, that particular section in Corinthians, so I'd like to sing that for you just now. I may be able to speak in strange tongues,
I may be able to prophesy. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have the power to raise the dead. But if I don't have love, it counts for nothing. If I don't have love, I do no good. If I don't have love, it counts for nothing. If I don't have love, I do no good. I may have the faith to move a mountain. I may give away everything I have. I may live a life which seems so perfect. I might even die the death of a martyr. But if I don't have love, it counts for nothing. If I don't have love, I do no good. If I don't have love, it counts for nothing. If I don't have love, I do no good. Lord, help me love, let me do some good.
So let's pick up the story where we left it. You were a teenager in a youth group learning to play the guitar there.
Mm.
What school did you go to?
In my teenage years, I was in the local secondary school, Frisborough Academy, quite a big school.
There's something we have in common.
Indeed. I think you were a bit earlier than me, I was going to say.
We won't go into
just
that.
Just had to get that one in.
So when you left Frisborough Academy, what did you do next?
Well, I went to Aberdeen to study business studies in a local polytechnic. It was then Robert Gordon's. And completed a diploma in commerce followed by a year's teacher training, and that allowed me to come back and teach in the local further education college in Fraserburgh.
Now known as the Banff and Buchan College.
The Banff and Buchan College of Knowledge, we called it in a bad day, but yeah, the Banff and Buchan College.
You were a lecturer in what subject?
Well, initially secretarial studies, which were shorthand typing, and then business studies, mainly law, some economics, some accounts. I enjoyed the time there, it was very good.
And then at the weekend, you were leading worship in your church?
Well, my sister and myself, the duo, the dynamic duo, whatever you want to call us.
The cheeky girls.
The cheeky girls, maybe some would have said that. We led some kind of gathered singing at the start just to kind of get the troops on the go. I enjoyed it. I hope they did. We certainly did.
Right, well, if you've caught your breath, can we move on to the next song we're thinking about?
We certainly can.
This is The Lord's My Shepherd. Now, you can't claim to have written this one.
No, I don't want to take the credit away from the psalmist David, or maybe one of his counterparts who wrote it, but no, I cannot say that.
But it was when I was making a programme about Psalm 23, we ended up finishing that half-hour programme with you singing The Lord's My Shepherd to your own version.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you tell us a wee bit about how you came up with your own version of the psalm?
Well, inspiration for music for me comes from a variety of sources, and sometimes it starts with a few lyrics, sometimes it starts with a tune. This one started with a basic in tune in minor chords, or the kind of Jewish sounding those kind of chords. From there, I got a kind of lyric, like a couple of lines to go with it, and I actually sang them onto my mobile phone voice recorder, which I'm sure David didn't have when he wrote the psalm.
Probably not.
Very handy it was too, but it does mean that you can have your snowflake of inspiration falling and you take it when you can. It gives you then the bones of the skeleton to work on. So I enjoyed doing that. So it's my version of The Lord's My Shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. Within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Dark veil, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still.
For anyone who's just joining us, you're listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM, and I'm interviewing Christian singer-songwriter Patricia Noble. So Patricia, we've got your life up to the point where you're minding your own business in the Buchan College in Fraserburgh. Along came romance at that point.
Oh, you've just no idea. Along came my knight in shining armour, wearing a suit and a dog collar. Yes, it was you, dear. You know that bit of the story. In fact, I got tears drotten about the possibility of meeting this gentleman who was a minister. Oh, you'll soon be baking cakes for the guild and all the rest of it. But it was love at first sight.
And the best man married the bridesmaid.
That is exactly what happened. We met at a friend's wedding and much spoken of, the match put together, which neither of us thought would happen, but it did.
And you were whisked away to the romantic parts of Raploch and Stirling.
Yes. Canny folk in Raploch. They were very hard working in the church, a lovely congregation, but it was a very rough area to live in, and a bit of a kind of blow to the system in terms of coming to terms with social injustice at first hand. It was some community for that. And that, in a sense, leads me on to the next song that I have. Every year in the Church of Scotland, we have a harvest thanksgiving service where we give thanks to God for the everyday provisions we have, and maybe the other things like CDs, like radio shows, all the things that are the fruits of our work. There are some people in this country still yet who do not have money for the basic provisions. Yes, we normally focus on abroad, and that's good and right as well. But this was written to sing at a harvest thanksgiving service, really to remind us, as the Bible does in Matthew, everyone is our neighbour. If we feed a stranger, we're helping them, and that stranger can be Christ to us. So this is where
it's based on a passage in Matthew, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Matthew 25.
It is. One of the strongest verses is, I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was naked, you clothed me. It's kind of haunting, actually, mm-hmm. because it makes us realise the amount of times we turn our backs on the person who's needy.
Harvest can sometimes be a wee bit superficial and sentimental when there is a hard streak of social justice in harvest.
Yes, indeed.
And you're trying to hit that note.
And the Old Testament prophets, Amos, Isaiah, Jeremiah, had the same thread. They were always contradicting the people of Israel for not caring for the widowed, the orphaned, the weak in their society. So this is what that song's about.
So this is Harvest with Attitude.
Harvest with Attitude. I like that. Lord, today, as we gaze upon this harvest, we give you thanks for how you provided for us. And yet we know that all over, people in the world are hungry. May we help them. Just as Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me some of your own clothes. I was lonely and you visited me. Help us, Lord, to be so very careful not to waste all the good things we possess. May we use them to the benefit of the people that we meet. Let us share, just as Jesus said. I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me some of your own clothes. I was lonely and you visited me.
So you're singing there about social justice, and you've a strong sense of social justice, haven't you, over the years?
I do, yes. I suppose when I started teaching and I began to specialise laterally in employment law, I started seeing that there were people who were badly abused by employers. And some employees can also abuse employers. But after moving to Stirling, I spent some time working first in a voluntary organisation called Off the Record, which gave information and advice to young people. And then as years have gone by, I've been involved in citizens' advice bureaus as well. And it's practical help that you can give to fill in forms represented at tribunals, but also, and quite significantly, you can provide the listening ear for people. Sometimes they come in with an excuse. And that led me on in the 90s to complete a certificate in counselling skills so that I could be a better listener. Because people, it's not just about the clothes on their bodies and the food they eat, it's about the whole person. And that leads us really into...
And you also do a bit of the counselling as your other job. minister's
wife? Well, minister's wife is a funny old thing. It seems to infer a title where people feel a lot more open just to come and speak to you, which is a great privilege. But it was also one of the reasons I decided I better be as equipped for that as I can. It is a great privilege to be able to help people, and you can deal with any kind of things from somebody who just kind of thrust on me their marriage problems to somebody who was actually suicidal over the phone, and that was a heavy one. But those kind of ones don't happen too often, but they do happen, and I'm just feeling quite privileged to be able to be there for somebody.
So this song is called Reaching Out, and you want to say any more about it? It's based on
Joyce Huggett, who's a Christian author, has written books on listening to God in prayer, and also listening to others and where they are coming from. And at the start of the book is this poem by Christine Rigdon, and I was so touched by it, I put it into music, and this is it. I feel your pain and long to touch the hurt and make it melt away. Yes, I know that I can't really see the breadth and depth of this dark valley you're in. I can't truly know just how sharp the knife is in your soul, for it's in you, in its path, not me. But I have known other valleys, and in my heart still bear those knife wound scars. Even so, I would walk your road and take your pain if I could. I cannot. And yet perhaps in some way I could be a hand to hold in the darkness in some way. Try to blunt the sharpness of the pain, but if not, it may help a little just to know that I care.
Well, thanks again, Patricia, for that one. Well, the Holy Half Hour's running near its time, and we've got time to maybe squeeze in one last one. And this is a very famous song called Hallelujah. Do you like to explain why you'll be singing this?
This song came about just after Christmas time, when the song Hallelujah, mainly sung by Alexandra Burke, was being put on the X Factor a lot and on the radio. In fact, all three main versions were on the go. And the tune was so steeped into my mind that it just made me feel I wanted to create, almost Christianize the song. Some of its original lyrics are difficult to understand, but I wanted to put something straightforward across about what I feel God's about. And that's where this song came from.
It goes back to the story of David and Bathsheba. David fancied Bathsheba and arranged for a husband to be put in the front line the next battle and be killed.
I don't know if we can talk about that on radio. That's
that sort
of shocking thing.
And later in life, he was reflecting back on it, and he was sorry he had done it, and yet he wasn't entirely sorry. And he went from hallelujah of ecstasy to hallelujah being a bit flat for him.
Mm. And I suppose sometimes it's a bit like that with God. God created the world, and yet we read in Genesis that he was at one point sad he'd created mankind when he saw the mess they'd got themselves into. So this song takes us from that creation part to the fact that mankind needs help from himself, if you like, needs saving, and takes us through to what God can do for us. And that's what I've tried to do in this song.
Well, just before you play it, we'll use that to play us out today. I'd just like to thank you, Patricia, for coming into the studio and sharing your music and your thoughts with us tonight. We wish you well in your future singing songwriting.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I'd just like to say I'm very proud to be the minister's wife's husband.
I like it.
So this is Hallelujah with Patricia Noble, and tune in again to 3TFM next week.
Now God, he made the world, we know, creatures that live, the plants that grow. All nature displays his great glory. Then God looked down from heaven above, smiled a smile in his heart of love, and from his lips he uttered, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Mankind was in an awful state, so God came down from heaven's holy place to give us all the help that we needed. But we whipped and stripped and hung him high and left him there on a cross to die. Yet from his mouth came the word, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. But death did not have the final say. Christ rose from the grave on the third day. Death was conquered forever in that moment. And if we trust in his precious name, our lives will never be the same. Forever we'll be singing Hallelujah. Hallelujah.